You're listening to Kizuki, the podcast. I'm Mei Yoshikawa, and I define the Japanese concept of Kizuki as the following. Kizuki. 1. A moment of epiphany, an aha of realization or insight which opens the knower to a new dimension of truth that was formerly unknown. 2. Steps in an incremental growth of awareness, resulting in a movement from ignorance to greater awareness of the bigger picture. A kind of knowing that cannot be undone, that cannot be unrealized. As a longtime yoga and meditation practitioner, a world traveler and curious self-explorer, I'm obsessed with Kizukis. Listen on each week for inspiring and enlightening stories that may just tip you over for your next aha. On this week's episode, The Button. What if I told you that sometimes just knowing a lifeline exists, even if you never touch it, can change everything? I actually learned in my path that that's scientifically proven truth. Early in my grief, I lived in what I came to call the cocoon. I had lost my husband very suddenly and shockingly. I didn't have a way to relate to the world as I had known it before. So I became somewhat of a hermit, alone in this timeless space that I called my cocoon. Maybe it's the lack of external reference points. No ticking clock, no clear day or night. It was just my own breath and the weight of it all. My only task that I could give upon myself was to get through another day. Like Alice in Wonderland's rabbit hole, days, weeks, and months rolled by without clear markers. There was just an absence of time, only the ache. Then, one day, I received an email. I'm going to call her Joan for the purpose of this episode. She was an American therapist that I had reached out to months ago during one of my many desperate attempts to find help early in those days of grief. She had been booked out and had no availabilities at the time, and I had just given up. I felt like this fruitless attempt at trying to find a therapist was too painful to carry on in and of itself. But it turned out she hadn't forgotten about me. And in her short message, she wrote, "Dear Mei, I know it has been a while since we were in contact. I am writing to follow up to see if you were able to find a therapist to work with you and with you and your son. Be well, Joan." I couldn't believe it. I was in the middle of yet another tidal wave of emotions, just barely hanging on. And there she was, reaching out. I wrote her back. It was honest and it was raw. I wrote, "Hi, Joan. Thanks for checking in. I have not been well. Honestly, I haven't even really had the energy to make the call to any more of the therapists you listed for me. I'm just hanging on in that in-between space, neither here nor there, not alive, not dead place." That was all I could say at the time. But somehow that turned out to be enough, because Joan wrote me back again, this time offering a tentative slot to squeeze me into her schedule. just one session because she couldn't offer anything regular. But maybe that was all I needed. I visited her office in the residential area, not too far from my house in Tokyo. Her office was tucked away, and I had a hard time finding it at first. It was just a regular apartment building. But when I finally made it there and I plopped myself into her couch, I still remember that feeling of finally sitting across from someone with real presence. Joan was extremely professional and kind. This was my first ever face-to-face therapy session. I didn't know what to expect. But right at the beginning, she said something that cut through all the bullshit and went straight to my core. This is what she said to me. "Just to be clear, therapy does not take away the pain. Sharing the pain does not make it any less. Everything that you're going through, you need to go through it yourself. There is not another way around that." It was clear, concise, no frills, no fluff. It was like she knew how to say it straightforward so that I would get it. In all my grief, I would still get it. It felt like a cold strike, dead center in the zone. Just what I needed to hear, even though I didn't know I needed to hear it until I did. Ouch. Or maybe, thank you for clarifying? Then Joan added gently, "But therapy can help guide you to the new you. That's what I can help do for you." We talked for about an hour. I told her my story. She listened with a stillness that only comes from someone who's been holding space for a long, long time. She didn't flinch at any of my darkness. She also didn't try to fix any of it. She just listened deeply through it. And you know what? Maybe she was listening not just to my words, but with some kind of a vision of a future version of me that I couldn't yet see. Near the end of the session, she said something I still hold. She said, "May, you're not only going through something this big once in your life, but twice. You've now told me about your divorce from your first husband, and this, the sudden passing of your second husband, the love of your life. I have to ask, you said in your email that you're in a sort of limbo space in between worlds. How are you feeling about that now? And what do you want from me? Because I can't take your pain away." And usually I say to my clients, I can help guide you in the direction of a new you. But you seem to already have that going. I walked out of that session with that question ringing in my mind. What did I want from her? And I had to be honest with myself. I think, to be really truthful, I wanted this best of the best top therapist to tell me that I was doing amazing through all my grief and whatever crying and healing I needed to do. Something along the lines of, "In all my years of counseling grief patients, May, I've never seen anyone deal with this so wonderfully. You're doing truly amazing, May. At this rate, you're graduating with flying colors." I laugh at myself now, but it's true. All I wanted was to be praised by a credible source. To be told, "You're okay. You're gonna be okay. You're gonna make it." And the admission of that truth, then I had to ask myself, all right, May, how much are you willing to pay for that? So that was that. And that was my only in-person therapy session with Joan. But a couple months later, she emailed me again. She said, "Hi, May. I just wanted to check in and see how you are. It has been a while since we connected. Be well. Joan." That same day, I wrote back to her. "Thank you for checking in. On this day, I am doing all right. Drama happens and emotions come, but I'm exercising, meditating, writing. My boys are well, and the little one is starting daycare soon, which means more me time than I've had in years." Then I told her the truth that had come to me. She had asked, "What can I do for you?" And I told her, "Joan, I realized you're my button. In Sheryl Sandberg's book, Option B, there's a study about stress. Two groups were placed in stressful conditions. One group had no option but to bear it. The other group was given a button, something they could press if the stress got too high. The result? Neither group actually pressed the button, but the ones who had the button just in case in their room experienced significantly less stress. Just knowing that the button was there changed their stress response." So I figured Joan's presence, her existence down the street from me, was just that. The button. I didn't need to press it, but knowing she was there, that changed everything for me. Here's the thing. This idea of having a button, you know, even if it's someone or something you never press, letting it be there and knowing it's there so that it significantly reduces stress for me, that anchored something real in me. Ever since then, I became clear about which friends in my life my buttons are. And in particular, I have my best friend to thank. She's the one I call when I feel like I'm losing the thread, when I'm unraveling. And I'm honored to be her button too. It's like we hold space for each other, even when nothing needs fixing, or even when you might think you need your own fixing, but it's apparent to the other that there's nothing there to be fixed. Because we're not broken. Stress is a part of life. But truly, we're not really broken. So today I want to ask you, do you know who your button is? That person whose presence, whose listening steadies you. And likely it's someone that, you know, you don't always need to reach out to, but the existence of that person in your life is enough to gift to you a sense of peace. Because when life gets stormy, one day there might come a day when you do need to reach for the button, and you don't want to have to scramble for the button on that day. You want to make sure in advance that you already know who's in place. So, who's your button? Do you have one? It can be a therapist, a friend, maybe a family friend or an older relative, whoever it is, someone that you can count on when shit hits the fan. A note to self. If, when I ever start spiraling, reach out to this person. It doesn't have to be elaborate, but let it exist for you. Because just the existence, the knowing of the existence of the button is enough to significantly reduce your stress.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about me and my Kizuki Journaling Meiwai Method at my website, kizukijournaling.com. That's KIZUKIJOURNALING.com. Or find me on Instagram at MAEYOSHIKAWA.